the Antiwhite system and tune in to the Pearl White system at radioarian.com.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Thursday, the 5th of April, 2018. You're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at radioarian.com. As it's Thursday, we're joined by Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. Matt, how are you doing today?
I'm in a very good mood, Sven.
Well, that's very good to hear. That's good to hear. I'm in a good mood here as well. It's an absolutely beautiful day over here in Britain, and I saw two hawks pairing up. I'm used to seeing birds of prey, but they've all been in singles up until now. And now that it's springtime, it appears they're all pairing up. Very, very majestic birds. It's just lovely to be out and about and seeing the wildlife. How are things where you are? Is it Philadelphia, isn't it?
Oh, no, Johnstown. That would be the other side of the state. The most orthodox state in the lower city in the lower 48 states. It's an extremely Slavic and a very Orthodox place, and I moved here 3 years ago. Well, unfortunately, it's in a perpetual depression.
Well, it seems like you're in the right place. It seems like I'm in the right place, and the listeners are definitely in the right place. And the topic we've got today is Donald Trump's trade wars, which is hopefully going to take our minds off the Skripal poisoning over here in Britain, which is what the news are full of. You're telling me, Matt, that over there in America, it's all about these trade wars that are going on. So what's happening with it? What's Donald Trump doing? What are these trade wars and who do they involve?
Well, for a very long time, the United States has accused the Chinese – I mean, I'm sorry, American capital have used the U.S. government to accuse the Chinese of intellectual property theft. And at least that's the pretext for this. The relevant law is the Trade Act of 1974, and that if it's established that a country is stealing in one form or another, sensitive, you know, electronics and things like this from another country, they can impose tariffs on it. There is a waiting period. So even if he's imposed it, but there has to be a certain period of time before it kicks in. The Chinese have retaliated. And it's a war the U.S. can't win. And more than that, one of the biggest people affected will be Boeing, who you know is part of the biggest part of the industrial complex, the military industrial complex. So Trump is playing a dangerous game here. This has been going on for a long time, and this is the first time though it's gotten this bad. Now, all of the American exports to China could very easily be gotten from Russia. You know, coal and things like this. You know, China doesn't need that much from the U.S. On the other hand, it used to be the case that China needed the American market because the American market is the only thing that the U.S. has. But you have private sector debt at something like $30 trillion. The inability to extend credit anymore. This market is, you know, I mean, Sears has declared bankruptcy. A whole big retail chains are going under in America. This market is not going, you know, so the Chinese have, I think U.S. has much more to lose than the Chinese do. Not to mention the simple fact that the Chinese have the atomic bomb, which is a huge amount of U.S. Treasury notes. And they do have, I mean, that would be an extreme measure. But the U.S. has been provoking China in the South China Sea militarily, and now over the question of intellectual property in trade. And essentially what it comes down to is that American companies want to go over there, leave American workers in the dust, take advantage of Chinese the work ethic and productivity, and not give anything back. Essentially, these are, you know, once the, you know, the Chinese partnership requirement when you invest in China, you have to, you know, permit, you know, locals to have access to some of the stuff. When the partnership ends, the Chinese company begins using what they've learned, and that angers American capital because they don't want them to benefit at all. So they want to profit from them, but they don't want to actually give anything back as a result. So it's a very arrogant move. But this isn't, you know, the media is saying this is Trump's thing, but really this has been going on for at least a decade and a half.
Well, I was thinking it was very positive. I heard that he was going to put all these tariffs on steel because he wanted the steel business to be back there in America. And I'd heard that he'd got some of these technology companies to move back. And I was thinking, well, this is very positive, and this is what everybody should be doing. You know, we shouldn't be allowing China to undercut our own industries so that we have our own people not working and we're buying substandard goods from there. So I thought it was a good move because of that. And I'm also interested there that you bring up intellectual property, because what have the Chinese ever invented? Everything that has ever been invented has been invented by white people, and that's our property that came about through our ingenuity and through centuries of study and building on the information that we had and building on the knowledge that we had. And so everything that we have, nobody can say, well, I own that individually, because that was created with the help of all the generations that went before us. So it belongs to the nation. Everything that's invented by white people belongs to the white race. And yet we've handed it out to the Chinese and the Japanese, and they miniaturize it. They don't innovate. They miniaturize it, and then they sell it back to us. So, you know, I would have thought it was a positive thing that he was trying to get some of this back. But you say that's not the motive behind it. It's a capitalist motive from these companies that see that that are seeing that their ideas have been built upon after they've got the Chinese factories to make them. That's what you're saying, rather than you know, as it actually being everything being the property of the white race, all this intellectual property that we have. You know, because that's what I would like to see. You know, I really don't understand why we give all our secrets away to these other races, and if we do give them away, then surely we should be charging them something for it. So I was supporting Donald Trump in this until you just said what you did, Matt.
Well, I understand the concept. I'm a little bit nicer to the Chinese. I mean, they have a very ancient, highly literate society going back, you know, older than the European. But they've had nothing to do with the Industrial Revolution. That's for certain. My concern was, I mean, look, any time trade is interrupted, it would force American investors to build those plants here. And so if you, you know, whatever, you know, I mean, the U.S. is getting things from Mexico that, you know, like flowers that, you know, they couldn't be grown here. I mean, it's, you know, the ridiculous way that these things, it's so irrational. You know, free trade is completely irrational. And the steel industry, you know, again, I live in Johnstown. It's been almost a ghost town since the steel industry collapsed. That was the heart of American strength decades ago. I fully recognize that. Now, of course, ideally, the technology that we're talking about belongs to the entire society. That's true. Even though it's a tiny group of geniuses that developed it, they couldn't function for 5 minutes without everybody else supporting them. That's a very important point. But of course, in reality, this stuff only belongs to a handful of investment bankers and elites who have control over it. My only problem here is that, number one, they're leaving the U.S. And putting people out of work. Number two, they're going to China for you know, cheap labor, more compliant labor. But then, number three, they're saying, well, you know, you're not going to benefit from this. Only we can benefit from this. And this only occurs after the license period ends. The Chinese demand is pretty rational demand that, you know, you can't invest in China all by yourself. You have to partner with the Chinese company. We're not going to permit this. So there's an arrogant capitalist motive there. But that doesn't in any way take away from what you said. I love tariffs. Free trade is the essential main foundation of globalism and globalization. The whole New World Order thing is based on free trade. Karl Marx went out of his way to say free trade is necessary to break down the differences among nations. Liberalism, Marxism, they all say the same thing about it. And if Americans like a product that they used to get from China or Mexico, American capitalists are going to have to invest and create that stuff here. And that will give more opportunities for not just big business, but small and medium-sized business as well. And if the U.S. can then offer very low-cost loans with even debt forgiveness at some point, that could be a very great thing. But that's not what's happening here. This is only on a handful of things. I think it's about $100 billion worth of – it's not on everything. It's on a handful of things in the high-tech sector. That's really all it is. So it's not a complete blanket tariff on Chinese goods.
Well, what are the sort of goods that he's putting this tariff on then?
Well, the big one, believe it or not, is soybeans. Coming from China. Coming from China.
Yeah. What's he putting the tariffs on? What is it if he's not I know that it's on steel. But what else is there that he's putting these tariffs on that the Chinese are upset about?
Oh, consumer electronics, which of course is the big, the backbone of a lot of what China brings here. But on the other hand, the Chinese have retaliated, and soybeans were the number one export of the U.S. to China. And I posted recently, and I said, well, boy, what are the Chinese going to do without that? Without soybeans, they're going to get more and more militant as time goes on. I hope people got the joke there, but that's something that China doesn't need.
But it is bizarre. That's the main export, isn't it? That's America's main export, soybeans. That's the responsibility.
It is true.
That's what's
underneath
responsible
that,
for
though,
it.
You have Boeing sending. This is commercial aircraft, and Boeing's going to be extremely angry because China's fleet, about half of the commercial now. I'm not talking about military. Commercial fleet, Chinese aircraft, or Boeing. And Boeing has already said that within the next 10 years, this fleet is getting older. They're going to they have a lot to buy. And so you're going to see the military industrial complex being very, very angry at Trump about this, because it's one of the first things that were hit is the Boeing Corporation. So he's playing with fire here.
Well, I know that he's also said that he's going to put he's going to put some tariffs on the European Union, which I thought, well, yeah, that's great, because he's also said that Britain's going to be at the front of the queue. And I was really disappointed to hear Theresa May and the British politicians all making a fuss about this, about how terrible it is that Trump is going to put tariffs on the European Union. And our British politicians should be cheering that and saying, well, yes, that's great. Charge the European more than you're going to charge Britain. But they're still supporting the European Union, even though we're supposed to be moving away from it. Is there much that America sells to China then? Because if China says, well, we're not going to buy anything anymore, obviously that's going to hurt America. And I would have thought that China would have had to buy whatever it is they are buying in dollars. So surely that would be good as well, wouldn't it? Or am I getting it wrong here?
No. But that's going to end very soon. I mean, at least the Shanghai Cooperation Organization is already going to shift for energy sales to the Chinese currency, which is going to be regulated both by Russia and China. Now the top exports, generally speaking, I mean, civilian aircraft. I mean, soybeans is actually number one by far, but civilian aircraft is right behind it. Cotton. So you have the textile industry, which is in danger, aluminum, and then, more minor, you have, food products like corn is a big one, and then coal is the least significant. But all of these China can get from Russia. So Russia wins here. There's no doubt about it.
Well, hopefully some other countries are going to fight back in this. If this is a war, if this is a trade war, then other countries will put tariffs on their goods as well. And surely that's going to encourage these countries to bring the manufacturing home and produce these jobs at home, isn't it? I would have thought. I mean, you know, I would have thought this is good for China. It's good for America, and it would be good for Britain to do the same thing, and it would be good for European Union countries to do the same thing. You want to be self-sufficient. You want it to be expensive to be buying goods from abroad, so that you are producing them and manufacturing them in your own country, providing jobs for your own people, and you have the satisfaction that you're buying something that's made there. I mean, we used to be really proud of Sheffield Steel and buying stuff that was made in Britain. I know the same in America. You'd be very proud to buy something that was made in America, and now everything is made in Korea or made in Hong Kong or made in China. So do you think, you know, that this could be positive? Do you see any signs of other countries doing the same, or do you think America is going to be isolated by this?
I've not heard about the EU. The official Chinese Communist Party newspaper is saying that what Trump is doing here is playing to his base. He's upset that he has not been able to, you know, follow up on a lot of certain promises he made. So going after the Chinese is sort of a compensatory thing. China is far more self-sufficient than the U.S. is. Russia and the U.S. probably could be completely self-sufficient if they wanted to. China still doesn't have any oil. But, you know, the U.S. could be and have been self-sufficient. And if that were the policy, you would have zero unemployment. When all of the embargoes were placed on South Africa in the apartheid era, they had to make everything from cars to toothbrushes to you know, toothpaste. And, you know, you had tremendous prosperity. It was the best thing that ever happened in South Africa. And this is why blacks from all over Africa were pouring into the country, because more blacks got college education there than anywhere else. But this is the reason. It became a dominant industrial power because they were forced to invest inwardly. And that would be absolutely revolutionary. But what American companies are doing is they're leaving America. They're going to a place with cheaper labor, exporting the same product that they made in America, but charging the same price. So profits, of course, are increased. You know, free trade is a fraud. And the only trade is justified is something you can't make yourself. You know, I think it's at the ground basis of unemployment. The U.S. has made itself vulnerable, and it's been a disaster. It's been an absolute disaster. But all three of these countries, Russia, China, and the U.S., has the ability to be completely self-sufficient if they wanted to. And that would benefit all three countries.
I thought Russia was close to being self-sufficient anyway because of the sanctions that had been placed against it. I mean, you've spoken about this before, that it's caused an increase in lots of the industries that they're actually producing there, and the economy is still doing well there. So, I mean, it shows that countries that are isolated increase in prosperity. And just look at North Korea. Look at everything that they've managed to achieve. I mean, you look at the place, it looks very futuristic when you look at Pyongyang. And when you think that he came out with a nuclear fission and a nuclear weapon, and he's able to threaten America with nuclear weapons, and yet the country is entirely isolated, is entirely cut off from everywhere, and they produce everything for themselves. And they're incredibly proud of themselves as a race, which, you know, I mean, I'm encouraged by that. It shames us, I think, that we aren't doing the same, because we would achieve so much more than they ever could. But at the moment, they are the only ones that are really showing this self-sufficiency and you know, what can really be achieved by one country when it puts its mind to it. So I'd really like to see more of this protectionism, isolationism, this self-sufficiency. I mean, we talk about it on the individual level, don't we? And we say we encourage people to be self-sufficient. And we say, oh, it's great to grow your own vegetables and have a few chickens and try to be as self-sufficient as you can. But as soon as it comes to the level of a country, they talk about, oh, we need to have free trade. We need to be importing stuff from here, there, and everywhere. We need to have a big transport system, and we need to have stuff coming over from Europe to Britain to be processed, and then back to Europe again, and then out of Europe. And instead of doing everything in one particular area, I mean, this was one of the platforms of the National Socialists was that wherever the raw materials were, that's where they were going to put the industry. So that the raw materials were collected, then they were processed, and then they left. So everything was done in one place, and they wanted to build villages or towns that weren't too big around these areas of production. And that's the way that we should be doing things. I've heard Jeremy Corbyn recently. He was talking about when we leave the EU, how we have to bring stuff over from France to Britain, back to France, back to Spain. And I thought, wonderful. He's going to say, why aren't we doing all this in Britain? But no, he was saying, oh, if we leave the EU, we'll have to pay taxes on that when it moves around the place. And we don't want to be paying taxes on it. And I'm thinking, well, no, we want to be doing it all in one place. I mean, that's better for the environment. That's better for the country. That's better for the nation. You have pride in what you have created. And you have this too many cooks spoil the broth. You know, you have too many people involved in something. And you have a committee trying to do something. And really, you want individual inspiration, individual genius, and then a nation working together on a product to come out with the best product that they possibly can. If you look back in our history, we used to make our own clothes. We used to make everything for ourselves, and we used to take a huge amount of pride in that. And we've lost all of that now, and we just think, well, we just want to buy the cheapest product. I'm as guilty as everyone else. I buy stuff on Amazon and eBay because it's cheaper than going to the shops. But this is a problem that we have. We want cheap goods rather than paying more and contributing to it and being able to say, well, this was made by my nation. This was made by my country. So I would really hope that, you know, there would be a drive forward to doing that in America off the back of this, Matt. Do you think?
I don't see it happening without, you know, first the collapse of the economy. Now, going through the list of what Donald Trump has put tariffs on, I notice they all have a lot in common. Consumer electronics, but the bulk of it outside of steel are things like compressors, things that medium-sized manufacturing needs, all kinds of conductors, forklifts, things that small businesses and medium-sized businesses need. Now, for the short term, that means it's going to be a problem. For the short term, you're going to see the supply line completely disrupted. And, you know, there's some really high tech things here that the Chinese give. But these are often from American companies. The Chinese aren't giving these. These are from American companies. Now we're going to have to come back. And so from that point of view, and they're going to be very angry at Trump for this, but they're not going to have a choice. It also affects Chinese companies. But, you know, Trump said, I remember during the campaign, he said, you know, you leave the country that created you and nurtured you. And then as soon as you can, you leave. And then you sell the same product back at the same price. It's exploitation. It's exploitation in China and exploitation here. But for the short term, you are talking about precisely the thing. I'm going through this list here, and it's really shocking. It's all pretty much things that a manufacturing entity of any kind would need, especially at the medium-sized level. And that's also a big chunk of Donald Trump's base. So in the short term, it's going to be rough if it actually goes through and everything. The long term could be excellent because the U.S. then will have no choice but to invest locally, and these companies will have to come back grumbling all the way. And if that happens, you may see an increase in unionization, because the reason that, you know, unionization collapsed is that when you have – yeah, the company could just threaten to leave. It's blackmail. If that option isn't available, U.S. workers who really are the driving force, you know, the most productive workers on the planet, can have more of a say in things. Unionization and the fact that the American worker has no say in anything, and if he gets too uppity, the company ups and leaves. And when these options are cut off, and again, we're getting ahead of ourselves here, but if these options are cut off, that won't happen. I'm also seeing a tremendous number of medical drugs and all kinds of surgical equipment and everything else that's on this list. It's a huge list. Steel makes up, all kinds of steel makes up a good chunk of it, concrete, but medicine, consumer electronics, and things that are necessary for basic manufacturing are what's on the list. So to some extent, he is fulfilling a campaign promise here. Short-term bad, long-term possibility is good.
Well, I guess you would also say that he's cut taxes. So he's cut taxes for business, hasn't he, by about 30%, I believe. So if there's going to be this short-term hit and people are going to end up having to pay a little bit more for things because they're made in America, then they're not paying so much taxes. So I guess it evens out like that. Am I right in thinking that, Matt, that he's cut businesses by at least 30% in tax? That was one of his campaign promises, wasn't it?
You know, off the top of my head, I don't know if that's actually been passed. You know, he has no power over tax policy. He could only enforce it. But, you know, he did campaign on that. He did mention that. But if there's a reciprocal tax cut from the House of Representatives, then that could make the short-term adjustment less problematic. The other option, though, in the short term is that American capital will become more expensive, saying, oh, well, this is because of the tariffs, even though it's really not. It's possible that they could do that, at least in the short term.
Well, what's happening? So, go on.
No, that's it.
Well, I was going to say, well, what's happening with Mexico? Are they a part of this? Has he whacked a load of tariffs on Mexico to get some money together to pay for the wall? Because that was part of his campaign as well, wasn't it?
Not that I've seen. I mean, of course, NAFTA have to be shredded, and I have not seen this. I haven't even seen the stuff about the EU. But if this is really unveiling a self-sufficiency policy, oh, and by the way, President Xi in China has a made in China policy that by 2025 China will be self-sufficient in a lot of the things that it gets from elsewhere. Now, oil can never happen, but a lot of other things. So the Chinese are pursuing a nationalist policy. And with all the American paper that they own, there's not a lot that the U.S. is going to do about it.
Well, that's really good, isn't it? I mean, if China are intent on producing everything for themselves, and it looks like Donald Trump can, you know, I should imagine he's aware of that. He can see that. And he wants to bring the manufacturing back to America. And this is obviously the path that he's trying to forge ahead on, as in have America making everything for themselves. And, you know, this is the way countries should be. I find this, you know, I'm very pleased about this. As I say, the media over here keep attacking him over it. And I really don't know why, because Britain aren't a part of these tariffs. It's just the European Union. So he's going after these communist countries and the communist European Union, isn't he? By, you know, I don't think he's put any tariffs on Australia or New Zealand. Do you know if there's anywhere else that he's put these tariffs on, Matt?
I mean, not so long as they're members of the WTO. He has to have, in order to put tariffs on anybody, there has to be an actual offense. And he has to be able to prove that. Of course, the U.S. should just pull out of the WTO, you know, but that's revolutionary. I remember something too, you know, China, you know, Americans always distrust Asiatic peoples. It's kind of popular. Although he did say something stupid. He said, the U.S. rebuilt China. And I assume he meant after World War II. I think he meant Japan. China was really very much self-sufficient in that regard. And even, you know, from the Soviet Union. So it was a stupid thing for him to say. But the New York Times is screaming. I mean, you could almost hear the venom. And I read the latest editorial, the New York Times, saying this is all emotional. This is racial. You know, the pillars of international cooperation are free trade, and he's damaging this. It's all emotion and appealing to his ignorant base and everything else. So he's pissing off all the right people. And I hope companies like Boeing see the long term benefit here.
Yeah, I really do. You know, I mean, this could be the start of something good. And he is trying to keep his campaign promises here. And I just wish more countries would try to be self sufficient. I think he's setting a good example. It will certainly be interesting to see how it all pans out and whether the people at the bottom of the chain start benefiting from it. I wish I could buy more goods made in Britain, you know?
Yeah, don't forget, if you know, China was going to be very self-sufficient by 2025 in many areas, Boeing is going to be able to sell these jets over there anyway. So, you know, that and commercial aircraft is one of the things that are part of this policy. and the Chinese have the money to do it. So Boeing may realize that we don't have a future there regardless. The media is making this out to be very dire, and you know, I think you're correct on that. I think Boeing may be able to figure this out.
Well, this is one of the problems with trying to civilize the third world, isn't it? Civilize all these other countries. You know, they'll be able to be self-sufficient, and they'll make everything for themselves, and they won't want to buy all the merchandise and the goods that the first world countries are making. You know, you cannot rely on other people. You've got to just rely on yourself, learn how to be self-sufficient, and, you know, tighten your belt if need be, and put the hard work in, and then you've got the satisfaction at the end of it of knowing that you can be proud of what it is you've produced. I want to be buying stuff that's made in Britain. I know you want to be buying stuff that's made in America, Matt, and I'm sure our listeners want to be supporting their nations as well in such a way. Well, thank you very much for coming on today. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with another Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.